James chapter 5, we'll read just, let's read two or three verses. James chapter 5, and let's look in verse 13. James 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And out of the four verses we just read, prayer is mentioned at least four times, or some form of the word pray, or prayer, or prayed, is mentioned four times. And so there's a great emphasis here about prayer. Now, we're in 1 Kings, is where we're in our studying on Wednesday night. I understand that. And we're going to read a couple verses from 1 Kings. Verse 17 is really our text. Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And I want to speak very brief tonight on Elijah and the God of yesterday. Elijah and the God of yesterday. Elijah, it's been found in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning really in 1 Kings chapter 17. Chapter 17, 18, and 19 are the primary chapters that Elijah is featured in. He's featured in other passages of Scripture as well. Elijah was a great Old Testament prophet, known for contending with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And we were able to go and see that, Mount Carmel, and be at that site. And there's a statue to this day of that event. Elijah calling fire down from heaven. And you remember the story. The prophets of Baal wept and cried and screamed and cut themselves and did everything in the world. And their gods would not answer because they couldn't hear them. And Elijah kind of made fun of them. He kind of mocked them. He said, "Peradventure your God sleepeth, or perhaps he's on a trip. And I'm not being crude, but he said, perhaps he's gone to the bathroom." And Elijah just kind of made fun of him. He kind of mocked the prophets of Baal. And then, of course, you know, Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer, and fire came down from heaven. Elijah was so confident in his God that he called for 12 buckets of water to be doused on the altar. And the Bible said that the trench that goes around the altar was full of water. I mean, it was completely drenched. And yet Elijah called fire down from heaven, and God answered in a miraculous way. But in verse 17, notice the Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's an encouraging thing. God reminds us that Elijah was not any more special than we are, and he's just like us in a lot of ways. He used the word is like passions. And Elijah was passionate. You think about the mood swings, if I can use that word of a lot of men in Scripture. Think about Moses. The Bible said that Moses was the meekest man in the East. You could say it this way, that Moses was the meekest murderer you've ever met. Because Moses murdered somebody. So you talk about a man of passion. Man, Moses was a man of passion. The Apostle Peter, he was a man of passion. He said, "Lord, the whole world, I'll never deny you." And Jesus said, "Before the night is over, the cock's going to crow 3 times, and Peter, you'll deny me." And Peter was a very animated, very passionate individual. Elijah was a passionate individual. He was on the mountaintop with a confidence and a courage as he faced the prophets of Baal in chapter 17. I mean, boy, he's on the mountaintop and he's praying down fire from heaven. And boy, he's speaking with courage and confidence and challenging the people. And 2 chapters later, he's up under a tree somewhere by the brook saying, "God, I might as well just die." And so, and are we that way? Boy, we know how to go on the mountaintop, and someday we're in the valleys, and someone may come in and say, "Good morning." And we may just respond, "Morning." May not be anything good about it. And a phone call can change our day. A text can change our day. An email can change our day. Someone else's mood can change our day. You can be in a good mood. Go to school tomorrow. Go to work tomorrow. Somebody come in. They're a grouch. Next thing you know, your whole day's gone to pot. I mean, you're just in a foul mood. And so Elijah was passionate like we are. He was a man of light passions as we are. I want you to notice 4 things very quickly about Elijah. Number one, he was a man of problems. You say, "Preacher, how do you know he was a man of problems?" Because Job 14:1 says, "A man that is born of a woman is born a few days and full of trouble." So everybody has trouble in life. And Elijah was a man who had problems. His first problem is apathy. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, one more of Elijah's more prophetic or most famous statements. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, and Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Now think about this. Elijah went to the children of Israel and said, and he called down fire from heaven and prayed and had to have this big confrontation. And Elijah said, if God be God, then follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. And Baal was challenging the children of Israel. They knew that Baal was not God. They knew that. They knew Jehovah was a true God. They knew that. And so Elijah is trying to remind them who God is. He said, if God is God, then follow him. And if Baal's God, then follow him. And Elijah was doing his best to evoke a response. And the Bible said the people just sat there and stared at him. They didn't say a word. One of Elijah's problems was apathy. Then another problem he had was his adversity. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 2, there's a woman by the name of Jezebel. The Bible said, then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow this time, talking about those that had died. And the king's wife Jezebel said, Elijah, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. You're a dead man. And Elijah went from the mountaintop to hiding like a coward. Why? Because Jezebel was after him. He had two problems. He had the problem of apathy and the problem of adversity. There's another prophet, also found in the Old Testament, who was also known for his prayer, as Elijah was known for his prayer, as we found in James chapter 5 and verse 17, our verse we just read. The Bible said that he prayed earnestly. So Elijah is known for his prayer, and yet Elijah has two problems. He has a problem of apathy and a problem of adversity. Is there anybody else in prayer in the scripture who's known for their prayer and yet they have the problems of adversity and apathy? You may remember Sunday night, we preached about a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. What do we say his problem was? His problem was his adversity that he was put in the prison, and the problem we said was his apathy. Jeremiah was apathetic a little bit about what God had called him to do. And so it's amazing how that times change and cultures change and events change and technology certainly changes. Human nature does not change. The very problems that Jeremiah had in Jeremiah's day, the adversity of those who did not want to hear the truth, and the apathy of God's people who knew the truth, same problems. Elijah had the same problem. He had the apathy of those who knew the truth, and they had the adversity of those who didn't want to know the truth. You know the problems in 2016? Exact same problems Elijah had and exact same problems Jeremiah had. There are people who are adverse to the scriptures and they don't want to know the truth. And there are people who know the truth and they can care less that they know the truth. Full of apathy. And so human nature never changes. Scenes change and scenery changes and events change and cultures change and trends certainly change. All those things change, but human nature is always the same. And so we see his problems. Then don't you know, the next thing about Elijah, we see his problems. Number two, we see Elijah's power. Another verse that is well known about Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. Elisha, who followed Elijah, Elisha said in 2 Kings 2, verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. You know the story. Elijah went up into heaven, and Elisha said, Lord, would you give me a double portion of the power that Elijah had? And God said to Elisha, if you see Elijah, and when he goes up into the whirlwind, if you see that, if you witness that, then I'll give you a double portion of Elijah's power. And Elisha saw that, and the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14, and when he took the manna, he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And that brings our title tonight, Elijah and the God of Yesterday. You know what Elisha was saying? I want the same God today that Elijah had yesterday. Where is the God of Elijah? And we can say certainly tonight, where is the God of Elijah? Maybe the better question tonight is not where is the God of Elijah, But where's God's Elijahs? Because what allowed God to demonstrate his power was a praying fellow by the name of Elijah. And Elisha wanted a double portion of that power, and he received that power. And we see to understand that Elijah and the God of yesterday is, the Bible said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that Elijah prayed to is the same God that we pray to. And the same power that Elijah had is the same power that we have, because we serve the same God. So we see the problems that Elijah had. Number two, we see the power that Elijah had. And we don't have time to go recount all the miracles. There's a miracle of the cruse of oil that would not fail. And you remember that story? He got the widow and went and got all the barrels of oil, and that just kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring. And that cruse of oil that she said, I'm going to take this last cruse of oil and my son and I are going to die. And that last cruse of oil, she just kept filling up barrels and filling up barrels and filling up barrels. That was a miracle that God worked through Elijah. Then there was the son who had died. And the widow woman again called for Elijah, and he went and put himself over the body of that young boy, and God raised that young man up. Then there's a miracle of calling fire down from heaven. So Elijah certainly knew and had power with God. There's another passage of scripture I didn't read this evening, but I'll save it for Sunday. But another verse about Elijah talks about God's power with him. Notice his problems, his power. Then notice number three is prayers. In James chapter 5, verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Three things about Elijah's prayer. Number one, he prayed earnestly. The Bible tells us that he was a man of passion. He prayed earnestly. It was not just a hit and miss prayer. It was not a 5-minute, I'll be done prayer. Elijah prayed earnestly. Number two, he prayed persistently. Notice verse 17. Elijah prayed, verse 18, and he prayed again. Elijah wasn't just a hit and miss kind of prayer warrior. He knew what it was like to spend time in the prayer closet. Elijah prayed earnestly. Elijah prayed persistently. And then Elijah prayed scripturally. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 and verse 17, God said to the nation of Israel, if you obey me and follow me, I'll bless you. But if you turn your back on me, he said, I'll cut off the waters. Here's what he said in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. God said, if you don't follow me, if you turn away from following me, he said, I'll end the water. I'll cut off the rain, and the crops won't grow, and you'll perish off the earth. So Elijah prayed earnestly, Elijah prayed persistently, and Elijah prayed scripturally. So we see the problem that Elijah had, the same problems that we have today, the same problems that Jeremiah had in his day, apathy and adversity. We see the problems of Elijah, we see the power of Elijah, we see the prayers of Elijah, and then we see lastly the parting of Elijah. Now Elijah's prayers ought to be like our prayers, or our prayers ought to be like Elijah's prayers. We ought to pray persistently. We ought to pray earnestly. We ought to pray scripturally. Our problems are like his problems. Our power ought to be like his power. And I pray that our parting can be like his parting. You say, preacher, what was his parting? Well, Elijah didn't see death. God took him up in a whirlwind in a chariot. And we're not going to go on a chariot, but we're going to go on a white horse, the Bible says. And he was going to be caught up in the air. And Elijah was the only man other than, who's the other man that didn't see death? Enoch. The Bible said he was walked with God and was not, for God took him. Someone said, I think it was, I've had a mental block, Pastor Bellevue in Adrian Rogers. I think Adrian Rogers said that one day Enoch and God were walking together and fellowshipping together, and come to the end of the day, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are your house, and won't you just come home and go home with me? Well, I don't know if that was true or not, but I do know this, that Enoch didn't taste death, and neither did Elijah taste death. And so his parting, I pray, will be like our parting. Now, we don't know it's going to take place. Brother Little prayed that he would still be here when the rapture took place. And I'm convinced that Brother Little believed with all of his soul that he would be here. And I'm going to tell you, seeing what we see in our day, I don't see how in the world, if I live a natural life, I don't see how in the world I won't live till Jesus comes. But I don't know that. You don't know that. We see Elijah's parting was he was no more. God took him. And I pray that our parting will be like Elijah's parting. But Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, a lot of times we look at heroes in the Bible, men who we call heroes, and I think they are heroes. And we think, well, you know, that's all well and good, but those were special men. Man, I just couldn't be an Elijah. Now, Moses I could be sometimes, depending on which part of Moses' life you want to talk about. And Peter, I could certainly be like Peter and not believe and be doubtful like Thomas. And some of those men, but I just could never be like Elijah and those great. The Bible says they're just men just like we are. They're subject to passions just like we are. They dealt with apathy in their day. They dealt with adversity in their day. We deal with apathy today. And we deal with adversity today. There are those who know the truth and can care less about knowing it. Then there are those who don't want to know the truth. And they're adamant that they don't want to know the truth. May I encourage you, us tonight, let's don't give up on those folks. Don't give up on those who present to us that they do not want to know the truth. Because the truth of the matter is that there was a time when we didn't want to know the truth either. And it's easy to get hard and cold and calloused and say, just be that way and go to hell then. Well, we never say that, but we act that way sometime. May I say to you, may we be men of compassion or conviction like Elijah was, but also a man of compassion. And Elijah was a great prayer warrior. And mentioned the Old Testament and the New Testament about his prayer. And Elijah prayed earnestly. Let's pray earnestly. Let's pray persistently. And let's pray scripturally.